Hello folks, how's it going? Welcome to a new edition of RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior. This is the foreign service of the Argentine radio transmitting from the city of Buenos Aires via the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International, and also via internet on rae.com.ar. This is Fernando Farias speaking, and together with sound technician Natalia Bravo, we'll be bringing you this show in English for Friday, November 8th. 2024, coming to you from Buenos Aires via the shortwave frequency of 5850 kilohertz, and also via our app for mobile devices that you can download for free. On today's program, we're gonna be talking about the upcoming Nights of the Museums with an important announcement regarding RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior. And also, we'll be paying homage to Led Zeppelin for an anniversary that is being marked today. We're gonna be also putting on the air again an interview that we recorded a couple of months ago with two great guys, Argentine men who live in Florida in the US, and they have a podcast on football that they call soccer in the United States. Maxi and Seba, they run the podcast called Soccer is Football, and we talked to them for half an hour. We're gonna be putting that interview again on the airwaves. It was a very, very fun talk. And very interesting as well. And it's going to be useful and interesting for listeners in the US particularly. A country where football or soccer is not as popular as it is practically anywhere else in the world. So the interview was so good that we are playing it again today. It's part of our archives now. If you want to get in touch with us, folks, send an email to qslrae@gmail.com or a letter to Maipú Street 555, and then, of course, Buenos Aires, Argentina. Either way, it's okay for sending reception reports if you are the exa, okay? I think that's it for today's intro. Let's get started now with the news. President Javier Milei announces the recession is over and Argentina has begun to grow. The government deregulates luggage handling at airports amid strikes and union disputes. The Colombian government and the ELN guerrillas agree to resume peace talks. Venezuela requests Interpol's arrest of former opposition candidate González Urrutia, now in asylum in Spain. Argentine judiciary charges three people over the death of Liam Payne. Sports: Vélez Arfiel wins, strengthens its lead and edges closer to the title. And these are the news. President Javier Milei has announced that the recession is over in Argentina and the country has started to grow. In his speech at the Chamber of Commerce in Buenos Aires City, he expressed pride, saying, "The period of pain is over. We are emerging from the desert." He thanked citizens for their efforts throughout the year and said that from now on, each day will be better for Argentina's economy, noting wages are now growing by 3.5% monthly. Mr. Milei also mentioned his deregulation minister, Federico Sturzenegger, is in touch with billionaire Elon Musk. According to media reports, Tesla's CEO may join Donald Trump's administration to help cut public spending in the US, a role also held by Sturzenegger in Argentina. On this regard, President Milei asserted, "We are exporting the chainsaw to the world, deregulation to the world. We are making the world a freer place." Argentina's judiciary has charged three people in connection with the death of British singer Liam Payne, who died in Buenos Aires on October 16. The former One Direction star passed after falling from a hotel balcony in Palermo. One of the accused was a man who spent time with Payne during his stay in the Argentine capital. The prosecutor's office has also charged a hotel employee and a third individual suspected of drug dealing. The autopsy revealed Payne had ingested a high amount of drugs prior to his death. His body, let's recall, was repatriated this week to the UK. The Milei administration has deregulated airport baggage handling, known as ramp services. Presidential spokesperson Manuel Adorni announced the decision amid labor conflicts with workers of a state-owned company Intercargo, which until yesterday was the only one authorized to handle baggage in airports. The move follows a series of strikes that led to delays, flight cancellations, and stranded passengers. Venezuela has requested Interpol's arrest of former presidential candidate Edmundo González Urrutia. According to a document from Venezuela's Attorney General, the opposition leader is charged with inciting disobedience to laws, among other changes. Exiled in Spain since October, González Urrutia dismissed the request as another attack by Nicolás Maduro's government. The former candidate argues that he won the July 28 vote, a claim acknowledged by various governments, even as Venezuelan electoral authorities declared Maduro's re-election. The Colombian government and the ELN guerrillas have agreed to resume peace talks after 5 days of discussions in Caracas. Both delegations announced plans to reopen negotiations from November 19 to 25. The meeting location remains undecided, according to a joint statement shared on social media. Talks between President Gustavo Petro's government and the National Liberation Army began in 2022, but were repeatedly halted over disagreements on ceasefire terms. Negotiations with the ELN are part of Petro's total peace plan, aiming to replicate the 2016 peace deal that demobilized Colombia's former largest guerrilla group, the FARC. And now, sports. Vélez defeated Tigre 1-0 at home in the 21st round of the 2024 Professional League. With this victory, the Buenos Aires team strengthened its lead in the tournament with only 4 matches remaining. Vélez now has 42 points, followed by Huracán with 39 and Racing in third with 34. In other games, Talleres lost at home to Lanús 2-1, Defensa y Justicia beat Argentinos Juniors 2-1, and Platense and Deportivo Riestra ended in a scoreless draw. And these were the news on RAE, Radiodifusión Argentina al Exterior.
RAE, Argentina al Mundo. RAE, Argentina, 面向世界.
RAE, Argentina vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けて, Argentina.
RAE, Argentina al Mundo.
RAE, Argentina al Mundo.
RAE, Argentinian in the world.
RAE, Argentina al Mundo.
Folks, tomorrow is the museum's night in Buenos Aires that is now in its 9th edition. Is this accurate? I think it's been on for more years. Well, I'm going to check that out, but it's been on for over a decade, that's for sure. The Night of the Museums has been done in other capitals of the world, and well, its name suggests what this is about. It's basically the possibility for people to go to museums at night. But in Buenos Aires, this has become a cultural thing and kind of a celebration of the city's heritage. This evening of the museums, this night of the museums, gives people the possibility not only of visiting museums, but visiting important landmarks of the capital, and many of them only open to the public on museums night. Important architectural jewels of the city and important buildings, public offices, public buildings that open to the public on a museums night for people to, well, enjoy and appreciate architecture, art, history, culture. All kinds of things can be done during the night of the museums, and visit embassies, for example, and the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, which is the San Martin Palace, a beautiful building in Retiro. Then you have, for example, the former Bank of London. That's one of my favorite buildings in this city that I love, which is currently the Bank of Mortgages near Plaza de Mayo. Is a marvel. Check this out. Just go on Google and look for images of this construction. El Banco Hipotecario, or originally inaugurated in the 1960s as the Bank of London, is one of the clearest examples in the world of what's called brutalist architecture of the 1960s, featuring a lot of concrete, and made by one of the leading figures of this architectural movement, Italian-born Argentine architect Clorindo Testa, the late Clorindo Testa, a great artist and a great man as well. And he is the one behind the construction, the work of the Bank of London, which is currently the mortgage bank that only opens to the public on museums night. Of course, you can go to the bank and do something related to the bank and you can see the building, but the idea is to visit the building with a different attitude, and you can do that on museums night. Now, the important announcement regarding museums night is that for the fifth consecutive year, Radio Nacional is going to be a part of it. This building, which is also historic, was inaugurated in the 1930s, modeled after the BBC Broadcasting House in London, the only building in the Argentine capital that was conceived, planned from scratch as a facility to house radio studios, at least for several decades, can be visited by the public. They can go around the building, they can see the famous auditorium, they can see some live broadcasts that are specially produced on the occasion of Museums Night, and this year's edition add something else. Right, this very station is going to be a part of it, because we're gonna be broadcasting live during the night of the museums, and we're gonna invite guests to come into the studio and see us broadcast live, streaming through rai.com.ar. We're going to be broadcasting in English and in Italian with my friend and colleague Chelo Ayala of the Italian service, and we're going to have all kinds of surprises on the occasion of Museums Night. You can check this out via social media on the Instagram account of RAI. But well, we are very excited about that. And as I told you, this is a celebration of the city of Buenos Aires, this marvelous city that never ceases to amaze me, even though I have lived here for practically all of my life. And I fall in love with this city more and more every day. Museums Night has now become another key moment in the year for the capital, with thousands of people, tens of thousands of people moving around the city, visiting all of these spots. Over 200 places can be visited during Museums Night. And this year, RAE is one of them. So let's play a track related to Buenos Aires, one of the many that celebrates Buenos Aires. This track gave Buenos Aires one of its many nicknames. You know, Buenos Aires is known as the Queen of the Plate, La Reina del Plata, because it's the major city in the Plate region, the Rio de la Plata estuary. But in the 1980s, Soda Stereo released a song called La Ciudad de la Furia, the city of rage, the city of wrath, or the city of fury. And for people my age, no, 30s to 40s to 50s, we sometimes refer to Buenos Aires as La Ciudad de la Furia. Are you going to La Ciudad de la Furia? I'm in the city of rage. We owe that to Soda Stereo, and that's this track.
Thank you.
You're listening to RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior. This is the international service of the Argentine Radio, transmitting from the city of Buenos Aires via the shortwaves of WRMI and also via internet on RAE.com.ar. You can also listen to our podcasts there, RAE.com.ar. Now, we'll have a conversation with two fellow Argentines who are in the US and have a podcast on YouTube and also on TikTok called Soccer is Football. And I'm exaggerating my Spanish pronunciation. Soccer is football, not football. Football. They are Eric and Seba, and they are down the line. Hello, Eric. Hello, Seba. How's it going? Thank you for this contact with Rai.
Hello, hello.
And can you hear us okay?
Yeah, perfect. Great sound.
Hey, Fer, ¿cómo estás? How are you, brother?
Very, very well. I'm very happy and excited to have this conversation. I've been looking forward to talk to you guys for some time.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you for the opportunity and to do this. We're excited. I think we've never done an interview
on the radio.
On the radio and with a fellow Argentinian from Argentina
and in English.
Yeah. Lots of firsts. But this is super interesting because RAE, I don't know if you guys are aware, is a radio station from Argentina that targets foreigners. Yeah? We don't usually talk to Argentines, and we try to present Argentina to foreigners around the world, many times assuming that they know little about Argentina. And what you guys do in the US, to have a podcast in the US about football, it's super interesting, and it's going to be very helpful to present the way we feel and we experience football, but from a different perspective and in English.
Yeah, well, that's great. I mean, that's what we're trying to do, to give or to present football or to the U.S. people here where we are. They call it soccer.
Mm-hmm.
And what the message that we're trying to get across is that it doesn't matter how you call it in the end. You know, soccer, yeah. Football, futebol.
I agree.
Kickball,
calcio,
however you want to call it, calcio. We just want to share the love of the sport, and what a better way to do it than from two world champions?
Yeah, excellent. We are all world champions. That's something that I also work as a tour guide here in Buenos Aires, and the feeling of being world champion is something that is difficult to convey to a foreigner, to transmit what to win a World Cup means to Argentines.
And you get to talk about being a world champion until the end of time.
Yeah.
It's not just until the next World Cup. It is until the end of time.
Yes, absolutely. Especially if you won it three times. Well, but guys, why don't you start introducing yourselves a little bit? Where are you guys from in Argentina? Where you are in the U.S.? How you ended up in the U.S.? A little bit of a personal introduction.
Okay, well, Eric, I'll start first. My name is Eric Bernhardt. I was born in Buenos Aires, Capital Federal, and when I was 8 years old, my family decided to move away from Argentina and from all our family. So all my cousins, aunts, grandparents, they all stayed behind. Me and my parents and my sister, we moved actually to Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
And we lived there for about almost 20, 25 years. And then I moved to Florida, where we are still here and alone. I left my parents still in Puerto Rico. Now fast forward even more, my parents retired and moved here to Florida with us and got married, kids, and the whole nine, and have my business here. And here in Florida is where I met Seba about 15 years ago almost already.
15.
And that's... Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
my name is Sebastián Saldívar. I was born in Bahía Blanca, Argentina, provincia de Argentina. And I immigrated here when I was a kid as well. I was 8 years old, and we moved to Seattle, mm-hmm. Washington. And my dad moved here with nothing, and we stayed back for a few months to sell everything in Argentina, and then we emigrated after my dad moved over to Washington State. Started from scratch, had nothing, and then again, like Eric is saying, fast forward a few years and I ended up moving to Florida because I got tired of the Seattle weather. And one side of the year, horrible weather. It's very akin to England latitude. It's very gray and dreary. We get 2 weeks of summer, and I got really annoyed with that. And so I ended up moving to Florida, and that's where I met Eric. And we met at church.
Yeah.
I'm a musician, and he was also doing some music, and we met up over there, and we started
in the church, you said.
Yes, in church.
Okay.
And then later on through the years, we kept in good touch, and now we have a podcast.
Now, I've got a question for both of you guys, because you moved to the U.S. when you were very little, but you retain your Argentinity with teeth, with passion, and you show that in your podcast. You wear Argentine jerseys and you eat bizcochitos and you speak. You haven't lost your accent a bit, but you're an adult man, but you live practically all of your life in the U.S. So how can you explain that?
Well, I can go ahead and tell you right now that when we moved to United States, my mom told me, she said, and I'll say it in Spanish, en esta casa se habla criollo. In this house, we speak Spanish.
Yeah, we speak Argentine Spanish.
Yes. So we were forced to speak Spanish in the house. We could not use any English words in the house. We had to maintain our Argentinianness. Yeah. And anytime we had a jar, and anytime that my sister and I would speak in English, we had to put a dollar in the jar,
mm-hmm.
come out of our allowance. So we couldn't use Spanish at all. And then my dad, being a language translator by trade, he when I grew up in, when most kids would go out during the summers during high school, they would go cut grass, mow the lawn forever to make some money. My dad would force me to sit down with him and learn the trade of translating documents from English to Spanish and Spanish mm-hmm. to English. So I was able to maintain two languages fluently throughout my entire life here in the States.
Yeah. Oh, okay, I see. Fascinating, fascinating. Well, we're talking to Eric and Seba. They are the hosts of Soccer is Football, a podcast on YouTube and TikTok that we definitely recommend you to check out. And let's talk a little bit about football or soccer. How is it? Is it growing in the U.S.? We call it the king of sports, no? It is the most popular sport practically all over the world, except in the U.S. But I've been told that maybe with Messi there, that may be changing. What do you see? Do you see football becoming in the U.S. what it is in other countries?
Yeah, I mean, the beauty of it is that we got to experience when we both immigrated to the U.S., I mean, in my case, to Puerto Rico, soccer was inexistent. I mean, it was a weird sight to see a ball that you kick, you know, at least in Puerto Rico. I used to play soccer in the baseball field because there weren't soccer fields.
Mm-hmm.
And when I moved to the U.S., now a little bit more, there's a sport existed, but it was never anything that was mainstream or anything. And even now today, I think the U.S., and this is personal, you know, opinion, the U.S. is still the only place in the world where the sport still has a lot to grow, like a lot, in every sense, professionally and the way it's played, to also, you know, at a kid's level, university level, even professional. And also a lot to grow for the fan. The fan base is still getting used to it, and the people watching it. And here, American football, basketball, and baseball are still kings.
Yeah.
But soccer or football, it's creeping up. It's making its way. It already surpassed hockey, which was the number four sport, and took that number four spot. And it's very close to taking that number three spot.
Really?
Oh yeah,
amazing.
That's a prediction that you had in the beginning when we started this podcast. The first episode we recorded, he said his prediction was that baseball would be overtaken by soccer.
Mm-hmm.
I will also say that Americans have had a hard time learning low-scoring sports.
Yeah. I was going to mention that. I was told by many Americans, it's fascinating, but It's so low scoring. You can even end up watching a game that ends with no goals at all. And for an American mentality, that is a lot to take.
Yeah, they even so that they just decided that every goal on American football was going to be worth 6 points instead of one.
Yeah.
And basketball is 2 points.
Mm-hmm. Two and three.
Basket and three, yeah. And I also think that, for example, United States, they're kind of reinventing soccer in this country because this is the only country that has leagues in the world, soccer leagues in the world, football leagues, that has a system that is not does not have relegation. So nobody gets to go to second division in the States.
Argentina is headed that way, I'm afraid. But that's a different
and I
issue.
Heard about it. It's a mess.
It's a mess. But it's let's not go there.
Yeah, no. That's going to be a 2-hour episode.
So what, you were saying?
Well, I'm saying that I feel like U.S. soccer fans are used to having the MLS league, and then at the end of the season, everybody gets a participation medal. Great job. We start from scratch again. There's no Segunda División, second division, or B or whatever. Unfortunately, you know.
You're saying that soccer is not competitive as other sports in the U.S.?
They want to make it competitive. They're trying to make it. I can see that they're trying to make it competitive. And it's exciting, but there's nothing more passionate about a team that is in the bottom of the table fighting for its life to stay in that division.
It is giving me the goosebumps as you mentioned that. And it's something that was brought up by the Colombians after the final of the Copa America. They were pointing out that in the final, even though they were the best team in the tournament, they lacked that drive that Argentines have. And many sports journalists in Colombian media were making the analysis that football here in this country is crazily competitive. I mean, you go to any kind of game, even friends after work gathering for a friendly match, and it's the World Cup final. Nobody wants to lose. Nobody celebrates a second place. It's death or football.
Right. It's weird. And I feel like United States, like they hosted in 94, they hosted a World Cup, and, you know, they tried to bring the masses in and everything. And they're trying it again by signing new stars like Messi. That's the reason why we started this podcast, is because we went to watch Diego Martinez, the Argentinian goalkeeper, playing a exhibition match in Orlando, here in Orlando. And on the way back home, we talked about how the arrival of Messi is going to change everything. And we started saying maybe we should jump on that wave that United States is experiencing signing new people, signing new talents that, you know, otherwise we wouldn't see. And this league is doing that finally. I think it's finally waking up to the signing of major, major stars.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, because for years the MLS has been regarded as the retirement league.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's changing its image a little bit, because it would be nice for the MLS to not be the retirement league.
No, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. But the question is, what about the female side of this? Because the American female national team are dominant and king, and they are the best in the world. And actually, if you watch I remember those Megan Rapinoe moves in the previous World Cups, and it was actually better football than the men's, more entertaining. But, I mean, you have that in the U.S. and quite the opposite in the men's side.
Yeah, I just think women's soccer, for example, in terms of like that, even in the early 90s, like Brandi Chastain that scored the winning goal, even earlier than that, Michelle Akers-Stahl, these women players that I remember watching when I was a kid here in the States, they've always fostered a stronger female soccer culture than male soccer culture. It's for me, watching the U.S. women play is a joy. It's like watching Barcelona.
Absolutely. Great comparison. Very, very good football. The American national team in the previous competitions was amazing. Amazing. Unbelievable.
And the men's, unfortunately, is
and to be fair, there's not a lot of women specific soccer stadiums in the world. There's not a lot, and the U.S. has one. Like they actually just made a women's specific soccer stadium. I think
I didn't know there were different kind of stadiums. I mean, the field, the pitch is smaller.
So no, it's the same pitch, but the stadium is made only for the women's soccer team. Like, for example, here in Orlando, we have the Orlando City soccer club. It's they made a stadium just for that team.
And
the women's team, they both play in the same stadium. In Kansas, it was in Kansas City? In Kansas, they made a secondary stadium just for the women's team, which is incredible to me. The sport, the way it's taken off, it should have happened a long time ago, but it is still, I think, like soccer for men here in the U.S. has a lot of room to grow. I think it's the opposite for women's soccer and the rest of the world, meaning the rest of the world
has to imitate the U.S.
In that regard. But is that because soccer, at least until a time ago, was seen as a girls' sport? I mean, girls would play soccer while boys would play basketball or American football. Is that the reason? Like hockey, like field hockey here in Argentina for many years was a girls' game, and thus we have a very strong female field national hockey team. Am I right to make that connection?
It doesn't sound wrong. I don't know enough to.
Well, for example, I grew up going to high school here in this country, and the emphasis that they have placed on youth women's soccer, youth girls soccer, the career path from high school to club soccer to Olympic development to national team, college to national team, is very straightforward for women's soccer, a lot more than for men's.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see that. I can see where that would happen. Number one. Number two, United States, like we said in the beginning, they're dominated by it's American football. It's baseball and basketball. So,
you could say here in the U.S., because American football is seen as a men's sport.
Yeah.
They said, okay, well, let's give soccer to the women, you know. And
I will tell you, when I was in junior high school, I would bring my soccer ball to school. And these kids that played American football and baseball, they would call me a girly guy. They were like, look at this guy coming over.
Exactly.
You gotta play soccer.
We here in Argentina, we are very familiar with American pop culture, no, in films and series and music. And I remember watching that film, Coming to America, Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy is from Africa, and he's made fun of by some of the characters because he plays football and he's mocked for playing that sport that you play with your feet. And I said, what are you talking about? It's the king of sports. How you made fun for playing football? It's actually the contrary here in Argentina. Everybody wants to play football in school. You have to force kids at school to play other sport, so they learn volleyball or handball or any other sport, because otherwise, if it was up to them, they will only play football, soccer.
Yeah, I got made fun of in school for that, and I would, during lunchtime, what I did is I started a little league with all the immigrant kids, all of us immigrants, because if you look at our podcast, I'm very white, I look very American, but I'm Argentinian.
Mm-hmm.
I would be the only white guy hanging out with all these kids from other countries, like Mexico and Nicaragua. And I would be playing. I would do a league. And then once in a while, these American kids that wanted to, prove me wrong would come over, try to play. They would get destroyed because they did not know how to play. We would teach these kids lessons about what football was.
Mm-hmm. I think that football or soccer has something that other sports don't have, and this was described by Alejandro Dolina, a radio host and writer. I'm pretty sure you're familiar with him. Mm-hmm. He said that soccer, it doesn't matter if it ends without any goals, without any scoring, but football, soccer, a soccer game has everything, has luck, has bravery, has cowardice, has talent, has everything. Is the sport that is more similar to life. That's what makes it so fascinating.
Yes.
I love that.
That's awesome. Yeah. And yeah. For example, people talk about, they tend to compare, and it's nothing wrong with it, but they tend to compare the NFL, the National Football League, the Super Bowl. We have a Super Bowl competition every year, which by now is already world famous. They tend to compare the Super Bowl with the World Cup.
Mm-hmm. No.
And I say, there's no
This happens
every year, and every year you can start over again.
Yeah.
When we watched the World Cup final together, Eric and I, in December of 2022, and we cried like babies.
Yeah, besides, there's a big difference. Many people watch the Super Bowl, not for the game itself, but for the commercials, the trailers,
and
the halftime show. And nobody cares about that. When they put a Shakira halftime show in the Copa America final, everybody was like, come on, let this be done. We want to continue watching
the
game.
Get over with that.
We want to see who wins.
To prove your point, in my household, the game, the Super Bowl goes on, and it gets muted when the game starts, and we raise the volume when the commercials go on.
we only
watch it for the commercials.
Exactly.
And in the final Copa America final, me and Seba, we went to the game, and when halftime came, we just stood up from our seats and went out to grab food and drinks because we didn't care.
Nobody cares
one second about the.
And you know what's fascinating about that is, even though the final that we went to was in Miami and they were trying to keep it, you know, whatever, you could tell that there was a little bit of American sort of ingenuity. They put a halftime show in a football game. Eso no pasa. That doesn't happen.
No. Besides,
it never happens in our national competitions.
The break between the two halves took longer because
it was too long.
It was too long for that show, and that's a no-no in football too. Guys, this is...
That was an Americanism.
An Americanism. Guys, this is amazing. I'm enjoying this very much. We're talking to Eric and Seba, the hosts of Soccer is Football. I'm going to ask you to have have another interview in the future. But we're coming to the end of the show, and so I wanna make two final questions. What do you guys expect from the World Cup in the U.S. in 2 years?
Well, we expect it to be probably the largest or the most watched World Cup ever.
Mm-hmm.
Because now, you know, we can count on the rest of the world to see the sport. But I think it being here in the United States, it'll get a lot of attention. It doesn't need more, but it's going to have a lot of attention. So we're expecting a big, big event. Like it's going to be a larger, more teams than ever.
Mm-hmm.
And we expect it to be a great, like, show, if you want to call it. But also, we expect Argentina to perform well, with or without Messi. If he makes it or not, we're not concerned about that. I think Argentina is going to do well, and we're expecting everything.
Excellent.
And I think social media is also going to continually expand viewership. I mean, if you're talking about United States, Canada, and Mexico, three major countries in North America, that's going to be a huge, huge, you're saying, Eric, I agree with you. I think it'll be the biggest, the most watched event in the history of World Cups.
Yeah, probably you're right. Okay, and the final question is, if you could explain to our listeners in English what soccer, football, means to us, in your view. Why is so important? What is football to an Argentine?
That question takes another episode.
It's similar to what is breathing, what is eating, what is
enough
love.
Said.
You know,
enough said.
It's up there for us. It's not just a sport. It's one of the reasons, right? Not the reason, but one of the reasons we get up every day. And it is that important to us. You know, the sport is not. It stopped being a sport a long time ago. It's a way of life. And at least for me, Eric, for me, it takes place in the top five things in my
life. Yeah, top five, de una, top five for sure.
I right there with family, God, you know.
Country.
Yeah, pets, friends, and football.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's right.
Enough said, folks. This has been amazing. Congratulations on your podcast. We'll have another chat in the future if you agree, because this has been very enjoyable for me and very
Absolutely.
Useful.
Absolutely, we would love it.
Thank you very much, folks, and well, keep the good work with the podcast. It's amazing.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having us, Fer.
Oh, it was my pleasure, absolutely. Well, that was Eric and Seba, the host of Soccer is Football, that you should check out on YouTube and also on TikTok on RAE Argentina to the World.
RAE Argentina al Mundo. RAE Argentina 面向世界。
RAE Argentina vers le monde.
RAE Argentina to the world.
RAE 世界に向けてアルゼンチン。
RAE Argentina al mundo.
La RAE Argentina al mundo.
RAE Argentinian in die Welt.
RAE Argentina al mundo.
Okay, we're gonna play now some music by Led Zeppelin on the occasion of the anniversary of the release of Led Zeppelin 4, which is their most successful album. It doesn't have a number, actually, no? Led Zeppelin 2 and 3, they do have a number, but Led Zeppelin 4, with that famous painting of an old man carrying wood, does not have the 4 on it, but everybody calls it like that. Led Zeppelin 4 was released exactly 53 years ago today, that's to say in 1971, November 8th. It's a massive album, key album in the history of rock, but mainly because it's got a song that has gone beyond the realm of rock. It's just part of human legacy. The intro, the guitar solo, is everywhere. Actually, if you saw that movie Wayne's World, in which they go to a guitar shop and there is a sign warning people not to play again the intro of Stairway to Heaven. Well, that happens when something becomes part of a people's identity. And in this case, is the world's identity. I have no doubt. So let's honor this classic track that people call it here Escalera al Cielo, literally. Albums at the time of the release of this came with all of the titles translated, many times quite inaccurately, but in this case it's on the spot, no? Escalera al cielo is Stairway to Heaven. So let's play a live version of this immortal tune by the band of Plant, Page, Bonham and Jones, Led Zeppelin.
This is a song of hope. She's buying
a stairway to heaven. There's a sign on the wall, but she wants to be sure, 'cause you know sometimes words have two meanings. In a tree by the brook, there's a songbird that sings. Sometimes all of our thoughts are misgiven, and I think you can see that.
Thank you.
mind, I stay away to heaven.
And with that massive live version of Stairway to Heaven on the occasion of the 53rd anniversary of the release of Led Zeppelin 4, we come to the end of today's edition of RAE in English. Natalia Bravo was a sound technician. My name is Fernando Farias. Thank you very much for listening, folks. Have an excellent weekend, and we invite you to join us on Monday for a new program of RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior, the international service of the Argentine Radio. Ciao.
RAE, Argentina al mundo. RAE, Argentina.